The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, my name is Danny, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 407 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today, still in Florida, I think she's going to change her zip code, is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Mike. How you doing?
I think I'm down there, too.
Are you?
I think if memory serves me correct, this show should be posted. I should be down there. I hope I'm down there. Keeping my fingers crossed that I'm down there. So,
getting ready for the Jungle Book Challenge?
The Jungle Book Challenge or the Jungle Cruise Challenge?
I'm going to talk about Jungle Book. Yeah. The Jungle Cruise Challenge.
Hoping I can do the Jungle Cruise Challenge, yes.
Yes.
So we'll see. Don't know if I want to be on the boat when something... Anyways.
Well, it's been pretty hot down here, and it's been pretty rainy down, you know, the typical August stormy weather. So it should be very interesting. So I say... pack your ponchos, pals.
Pack your ponchos. So, a person who is not here is Chris Eliopoulos, who is, we've given Chris the night off because he's been really busy doing stuff. And we said, nope, take time off with pay. So, he's taking time off with pay. And so, he won't give us a song. Ready?
All right, are we ready? So I get to do the song tonight.
Let's switch it around. Chris isn't here, so why don't you do a song and I'll do a shout out.
Well, this is, I'm so excited because I'm actually going to be going to see this group. It's become one of my favorite groups, Pentatonix. I have a lot of their songs on my running playlist. And Mike, this week you shared a really cool YouTube video of the lead singer, Chris, the woman lead singer of Pentatonix, Chrissy, singing with the Voices of Liberty, right?
Some of the former Voices of Liberty, yeah.
Yeah, so one of the songs I like is Cracked by Pentatonix, and I can't wait to go see them in November, but I have a few on my list by them. I just think they're awesome. So you have a shout-out?
Yeah, I have a shout-out. I was thinking, you know, who should I give a shout-out to? And I think that it's only fitting that the shout out goes out to you because of your volunteering last week at Give Kids the World. You gave up part of your vacation, a total of one full day, two half days. And I know what kind of a person you are, and you were just filled with joy to see the smiles on these children who come to Give Kids the World. And, you know, I'm sure that your participation and your volunteering added to their joy. And so I want to give you a shout out on behalf of all the Mickey Milers.
Oh, aren't you nice? Thank you so much.
I'm a nice guy. But
I need to do more.
Yeah, I think you never can get enough of that good stuff, mm-hmm. goodwill. But Michelle, you know, you've been down in Florida for a while. And, mm-hmm. You know, we had Chris on the show a few weeks ago talking about his vacation and what he did, and so it's probably, you know, before you forget, because you still have a ways to go before you're going to be returning, and we want to strike while the iron is hot, and especially if people who are going down would like to pick your brain on what you've been doing. And I want to I'd like to focus on things that Chris did not report on, that he did not experience, that
sure.
So we can you know, give more information rather than the same old stuff. So I want to, you know, turn it over to you, and maybe you can go day by day. Can you give us an account of things you've done, that things maybe that are different, that have changed, that you may feel people need to know before they go down. So I'm going to just turn it over to you and say, tell us about what you've been doing.
Oh, my goodness. So you have a tall order there, things that people should know before they go down. Well, one of the things that I did is the new Frozen ride. And I know Chris did not do that. And the footprint, it's really, really interesting. Mike, I know I told you this off the air, but the queue line is very much, you know, where it was mostly... Well, I guess it was half and half out, depending on the line length, half outdoors and half indoors. That whole area that was the theater now is the queue line, as far as I can tell. And I did a fast pass. I didn't have to go through the whole queue line. But I was really surprised to see that the area that was the used to be where you got off the boat is now where you get on the boat for the new Frozen ride.
Wow.
It's very, it's the same footprint. The ride's the same footprint. It does the same track and things like that. There's a part where you go backwards and there are a lot of the Frozen characters. I think I was just sort of like, oh, that's kind of cute. It didn't knock my socks off, but it was a pleasure to see families, especially little kids who are just so excited about it. So are you excited to see it, Mike?
I have seen some videos, and I'm curious to see how they transitioned from the Maelstrom attraction to this attraction, and to see, especially curious to see the audio animatronics. It's the first all-electric audio animatronics in a stateside Disney theme park, so I'm curious to see how smooth their movements are. And so I'm curious to see how that works, and I know that there are still a few things that they're still working on with that, but I'm curious to see how it is. I will tell you, though, I'm not intending on standing in line for an hour or so. So I would say that if I cannot get a fast pass, then I can wait for another time. You know?
Yeah, the fast passes are hard to get because you can only get, there's a whole tier of, you can only get one of them per day. So like, Soarin' is in that tier, I believe. Test Track and Frozen. So I had to go back two different days to do that because when I went to Frozen, the wait time was 105 minutes. So I don't think it's worth the 105 minute wait. It was really interesting. They have when you go into Buzz Lightyear and Buzz's face is just before you get on the attraction. Buzz's face is kind of like projected mm-hmm. on it to give him expression and things like that. Anna and Elsa, there's one, at least one part where that's the way that they do it. But Olaf is in at least two different scenes. Anna is in at least two different scenes. Elsa's in at least two different scenes. The trolls are there, and they have several of the songs are represented too. So it was cute. I would do it again, definitely. I think that one of the interesting things, one of the things I was curious about was what the gift shop was going to look like. Because, you know, before you get off in Norway and there'd be that H&H clothing line and people would be taking pictures of the trolls or wearing Viking hats, but pretty much people are scooting out. Well, the whole first area now is Frozen stuff, like any Frozen stuff that you'd ever think that you'd want, even a Frozen, like, adult coloring book. And it was packed. Things were flying off the shelves, clothing and just anything that you'd want. So that was interesting. And I thought, well, this is sad. There's a lot less, not that the Norway stuff, that I even bought any of it there, but I think that's what makes the pavilion so charming, that stuff that you see that's, you know, country specific, but there's still a little tiny area with the Norway stuff there. But it definitely was a busier shop, and, you know, that's Disney's prerogative to use the space to make as much money as they can. So I get it. I understand that.
Yeah, I was worried about the transition. If we would lose the, you know, the culture that World Showcase is supposed to bring, you know, for showcasing the world, showcasing the culture of Norway. So that was a question. I haven't been looking into this as I should, but I know that the Mexican pavilion is opening up before the rest of the pavilions in World Showcase in the morning. Do you know offhand if the same is true for the Norway pavilion?
I haven't really been there so far in the mornings. So I will look into it, but today I was meeting friends for lunch. I got to World Showcase at about, 11. Which way did I go? I guess I did go by Norway. And there was a line at about 11. So I don't know. You know, it opens at 11 anyway. So I don't know if it opened before then. So, yeah. So one of the other new things that I did in at Epcot was today I actually went to the this is for DVC members. There's a new DVC lounge. I don't know if it's going to be there forever, but it was kind of advertised as one of the celebrations for the 25th year DVC. So it is located in the Imagination Pavilion. You know, that place has been kind of not as lively as it was when I first started going to Epcot. But they use that space. Mike, what did they use that space before up on the top? So it's at the top when you're leaving the play area. At the top, there's a spiral staircase, and that's where the new DVC is. What used to be there? I feel like I'd been up there before. Do you know? Is that just a place that you can go up and visit?
Don't remember.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's just my imagination. But the way it works for any DVC member who'd want to go there is that you need to come. It's kind of like going to the top of the world at Bay Lake Towers. You need to have an ID, a picture ID. You need to have your DVC card. And they check it, and they put you check in at the bottom. They put your name in an iPad. And the number in your party, and then you go to the top, and they ask you when you check out to let them know because they want a count of how many people there. So there's free coffee. There's places where you can there are, you know, sockets where you can recharge your phone. They advertise it as a place where you can do some recharge. There's actually a computer with a browser open and a printer. I don't know, like, if people would print out their boarding passes or what they would do there. There's the sodas with the different types of Coke products that you can, we have it at our local movie theater where you can have different types of Coke products. Diet Coke and all these other things. You just kind of do the touch screen to get whatever you want. And then they do the snacks in the kind of interesting way. They don't have snacks out. I stayed there for about a half an hour, and about every half hour they come around with snacks on a little cart, and they'll offer you. So I had a choice of potato chips, Doritos, cookies. I think that was it. So,
healthy food, yeah.
Yeah, I think there were baked potato chips were one of the options. I chose chocolate chip cookies myself. But it was actually raining. It was starting to rain when I went up there. So it was kind of it's nice and cool. There's a play area for kids with, like, video games. And there's a Mickey cartoon going on. I was actually kind of surprised that there wasn't a DVC booth up there to kind of get people to buy more DVC.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be everywhere. But anyway, it's a nice little... You know, just a nice little, the chairs are really comfortable, and there's a view of Spaceship Earth from there. So it's a nice little member area. So when you leave, you have to give your name again, so they kind of check you out. But yeah, it's kind of neat. And I know Chris did talk about this, but I will give, I will say that the new Soarin' film is just as nice as he said it was. He gave the suggestion that you sit in the middle, so I don't know what it was like when you're not sitting in the middle, but I really, really enjoyed it. I just thought it was a lovely, I think it's just perfect for the World Showcase area and the whole multicultural theme of Epcot, because you are traveling all around the world. So our chief flight attendant, Patrick, still gives the directions, but at the beginning, when you're going in, there's a little, when you're waiting in the queue line, there's a little map of the world, and it shows you all the different places that you go. And you go to Egypt, you go to Tanzania, you go to the Great Wall of China. And I thought some of the, I don't think Chris mentioned this, but I thought some of the effects of flying were a lot better than they had been in the other version of the film. There's one scene where you're actually flying towards the Eiffel Tower that I felt like, wow, I feel like I'm flying. I really did, where I never really kind of had that feeling before. So that was kind of neat. I will tell you another thing that is different, which is, Disney Springs, since the last time that I was there, really opened up, and Chris did talk about that. But I'll tell you, one of the places that I went today was a really cool place called Sprinkles, which is a cupcake place. It's so busy that there is a line outside that they have to let people in. It's not just cupcakes, it's cupcakes and ice cream, and you can get ice cream with your cupcakes, and delicious. I just got a cupcake, but a delicious cupcake. It wasn't too expensive. It was $5, but it was definitely, gourmet. But one of the cool things they have, Mike, is they have something called a cupcake ATM. So you can actually go to this little thing that says cupcake ATM. You put in your card, you make your order, and your cupcake comes out right there. So it was kind of fun. I didn't do that, but I was watching other people do it. And one of the things that I noticed was that, set now, because the whole Disney Springs area is really opened up there, the new, before when I was there, only the orange garage was open, but now it's the lime garage is also open, and that's kind of in the middle of Disney Springs. And I parked there today, and I will not do that again. Why? I'd rather walk, because it's just so hectic. It's right in the middle, and it's just crazy hectic, and I would rather park in the orange, which is down near the AMC theater, and walk further than deal with all the crazy busy of the garage. I think you're probably the same as me respect.
So, Michelle, are you saying that the Lime Garage is more towards where the World of Disney store is, and people are trying to park there, figuring that they won't have to walk as far, so because of that, there's more traffic in the Lime Garage than the Orange?
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, you haven't been to this area yet, Mike, I don't think, where the Lime Garage actually lets you off kind of like right in the middle of this new mall area that you haven't seen some of the stores. I went down there with a buddy the other night. We went to, there's a Japanese store called UNESCO. It's kind of, and it's just kind of an interesting kind of like Japanese department store, not in the way that the one in the Japan Pavilion is, but more modern. A lot of good deals, actually, you'd be surprised. There's some stores that are more high-end, but I like this store because it's a different type of store. There's some stores that you see kind of pretty much in every mall, but boy, is it hopping down there now. It's just, there's so much going on. There's so many food options. Yeah, it seems like it's a really interesting and fun place to hang out. It makes me remember one of the first times when I went to Disney in the 80s, when it was just really the area where the Christmas tree shop is, and it was like
the Village Bucket.
It was so sleepy. Yeah. Yes, it was so sleepy. I remember going there with my mom, and I was so sleepy and quiet, and there's nobody there. And now it's just, there's just so much going on. It's quite interesting. What other things have I done since I've been here.
Let's say, what about, have you been to the Magic Kingdom?
I have.
Anything new there to report on or anything of interest? No.
No? Oh, not really. No, not. Oh, I know what I'm going to talk about. The at Animal Kingdom. So, Chris, we had the Vanderpools on to talk about Tiffin's, and I popped over there just to kind of see what it was like. I was all on my own, and there were wait staff outside just standing there. It's not caught on yet, so it's kind of like a secret that nobody knows about. It's near where Pandora will eventually be. But I went to the Nomad bar, and I thought, well, I'll just get a drink and sit outside. There was nobody there. There was not one person there. I was the only one there. I sat there for about a half an hour with my drink and enjoyed a view of the cranes that are in Pandora. But boy, I was just shocked. There's just nobody there. So it was kind of interesting. I asked if they had Tables in Wonderland discount or if they had any other discounts. They said no. But there were some people there sitting at the bar who said, we have all those. We're DVC too, and we have Tables in Wonderland. We have annual pass. We don't care, though, because nobody knows about this. So we'd rather pay more money. And so anyway, it's a lovely decor. I looked at the menus. I can't wait to eat at Tiffin's. But for right now, nobody knows about it, it seems. Yeah. But I want to tell you about The Jungle Book because...
it was a good movie.
Yeah, The Jungle Book is it's the nighttime spectacular that is at Animal Kingdom, and if you don't know where it is if you're walking up to Expedition Everest, it is on your right, and it goes all the way around. What are they calling that water area now? I can't remember what they're calling it, but. It goes all around the water until you get to Dino Land. So the area that is near Expedition Everest is the Fast Pass area. And when you go all the way around to Gertie the Dinosaur, that's the standby area. So the first time I was there, I tried to get in standby. And that big green dinosaur.
Oh, isn't Gertie in Studios?
Oh yeah, you're right. Or whatever that green dinosaur.
Okay,
is
the one near
Dinoland.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought.
So, anyway, I couldn't get in standby. It was probably half an hour till showtime. So a few nights later, I got my fast pass. There were two shows, Mike, 9 o'clock and 10:30. So it's pretty popular.
I guess. Wow.
And this is unlike any other Disney show that I've seen before, and I was with a Disney buddy today who said, what were your impressions, because she hadn't seen it, but she said, I've heard mixed reviews about it, and I can understand that. I could see some people really really would not be liking this, because it's not like a Fantasmic where it's Disney characters or a Wishes type of thing. It is very very much multicultural and international music, and I thought it was really really fun. So the idea is that they're telling the story of the Jungle Book with dancers, and there were actually live musicians and drummers there, and they have the water projectors. Is there a name for those water fans, water projectors?
Water screens, I think.
Water screens, and they show scenes, actual scenes from the Jungle Book. But they intersperse it with Indian music, some of which is in the movie and some of it is not. And they have dancers who are, I just was like, my mouth was open. They were just doing these elaborate Indian, some of them look like Bollywood, but they're really, really fun. And I thought the live music was great. And Mike, I estimated at the, and I think this is a conservative estimate, that there must have been 60 cast members, because there are three different areas that are all pretty much showing the same thing, you know, because it's kind of like a, it's kind of like a half circle, but it's more like a U area where the seating is. So there, as I said, it's
horseshoe,
near.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a horseshoe, and then in the middle of the horseshoe, it's broken because the rafts are coming in with the different performers. So they come in through that, that middle area, and they're dancers, they're musicians, as I said, they're fire jugglers. There's a little tiny fireworks thing at the end. I wouldn't even call it a display, more like just a little pop. But I can't wait to see it again. I thought it was really fun. Hmm. I thought it was really fun. You know, did it rock my world? And, you know, do I have to go back every night? No, but I would look forward to seeing it many, many times. I just thought the dancers were just, I thought, oh my gosh, all the practicing they must have had to do. I'm not a dancer, but it just looked really intricate and fun. So, so that, I think that was my, my probably, between that and the cupcake, that was my Disney highlight. I really enjoyed that.
Let's see. Downtown Disney. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Downtown Disney. Would you say they're it's finished? Or I know that Planet Hollywood is still undergoing some some work. If you could say, if you could gather a guess and say, you know, I think that the Disney Springs effort is 80% complete, 90% complete. What kind of a number would you put on it?
I would say probably 90%. I wanted to tell you that, you know, where the Fulton's Crab House is, they're opening a new restaurant there. And I actually took a picture of it. So I'm looking, it's coming in fall 2016, and it's called Paddlefish.
Oh.
And yeah, so that is one, I'm sure that's going to be a big draw when that actually comes. But there are a few little other areas that are not completed, but I would say 90% complete based on what I've seen. So, you know, there were a few storefronts that weren't quite open. The other day, there's a pizza place down there that was just about to open. We walked by and saw the servers training. I'm trying to think. There was another storefront area across from the there's an Under Armour store, but I would say it's pretty close to being finished. The last time I was there, I think with you, the water wasn't even in Disney Springs, so now that's all opened up. And
it was Disney dust at that time.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm always concerned about when they do any type of refurbishments or construction, or they add anything to a theme park, or in this case, Disney Springs, is that they're also adding the capacity threshold. They're adding more to the area so that it can handle more people, more guests. And when you have more guests, that means you need to also consider things like, do we have enough places for these additional guests to eat? So my question to you is that with all the changes that have been made since April, because the last time we were there was April, have you recognized that they've also been able to figure out that they need to add more places to eat? And if so, did you notice that or no?
Well, I mean, let's run down maybe we could just do a whole podcast someday on Disney Springs. But starting from one side to another, we have Splitsville, House of Blues, the Boathouse. I'm sure I'm missing things. Marimoto, the Hangar Bar, if we want to say Sprinkles, because that's where I had my dinner tonight. Mm-hmm. This Paddlefish place, of course, is going to be huge. There's T-Rex. There's Portobello still that's there. There's Rainforest Cafe. There's Raglan Road. There's the pizza place now. There's another place. There's another place that's sort of like a bistro type of place. Gosh, I can't think of it. I'm trying to think. I don't know it well enough. But I would say yes. I would say that's a very long way of saying that there are. Oh, there's Bongos, right? I don't go there because there aren't many vegetarian options there. But there's the Wolfgang Puck, one place, and the Wolfgang Puck in the other place, on the other end. So I think there's a lot. What do you think based on that list?
Well, I know that many of those that you had mentioned had already been around. And I'm just wondering with the opening of so many more stores, and especially I think the key, Michelle, is that extra garage. Because right. When you think about, I remember, was it last year or 2 years ago? We were on a boat and one of the cast members said, yeah, they're adding something like 40,000. I don't know if it's 40,000, maybe 4,000. Maybe, I don't know how many thousands of parking spaces. And as soon as he said that, I'm thinking, wow, if they're going to add that many thousands of parking spaces, then they need to make sure that they have enough places for people to shop and places to eat. And the ones that you mentioned, like Morimoto, opened up earlier this year, and you've
and
got
that suits
the
a lot house. Of people that.
Yeah. And I think my concern is that I hate to see people not given the opportunity to eat somewhere. We're taken up. We're all filled up. I think that it's so important for Disney to have in the theme parks and at Disney Springs the ability for a guest to occasionally go up to a podium and say, well, do a walk up. I mean, I've been pretty lucky. I think you've been pretty lucky too. I've been able to do that a lot, but I don't know how many people can do that. And I think that having enough places to eat, I know we always complain about the Magic Kingdom doesn't have enough sit down restaurants. I just wonder if they have, if they have spots in place that you may have noticed that maybe would be slated for have more eating establishments. But it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like they are basically putting together shops and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking of some other places that I forgot. There seem to be quite a bit, but I think that, as is the case with any Disney experience, that you shouldn't go anywhere and assume that you're going to be able to walk up and right. be able to get something to, you should definitely make sure that you have your ADRs, whether mm-hmm. it's Miramoto or whether it's, the boathouse or whatever it is. I definitely think to be happy, I think as a parent, I'd always want to just make sure that for me, I don't really care. I can have a cupcake for dinner and be happy, but,
I'm sure kids could too.
When it's tough when you have kids and you're walking from one place to another and, there's not any place, there's a 45 minute wait or whatever. I would just make sure that you do your ADRs, and there are some fun little places. I even noticed, Mike, that Miramoto now has a walk-up place that you can get some sushi to go.
Oh, nice.
Did you know that?
Nope, I didn't know.
Yeah. So I don't know if we just didn't walk around that area, but
probably not.
Yeah. And so that's my first week.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that some of this will help those who are planning to go down. I'm thinking it's helping me a little bit. I mean, I think I'm already down there, though. I hope. Well, Michelle, I think that, any information is good information to let people know what they can find down there when they go down, especially if they haven't been there in a while. And I know for those who have not been down to Walt Disney World in the last 5 years, they are going to be blown away when they see what has happened to downtown Disney. Disney Springs has really sprung, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, enjoy the rest of your trip, and I'm sure that if there's anything of interest that, we feel should be, talked about on this podcast, I'm sure that we will pass that information along to our listeners. So have a continued good long vacation, and Enjoy.
Thank you.
So for Michelle Scribner-McLean and for Chris Haleopoulos, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.